Hi. Gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right, the Bible doesn't condemn gays. Well, we're in this, I guess they call it Black Friday 2, because it's a holiday, it's Friday before Christmas, so all the shoppers, stores are all getting ready for the holidays, and power outage, at least over here in my neck of the woods. So, happy shopping in the dark. Hope it goes well for you. A little cold without power, but not too bad. Just want to come to you anyway and talk to you about the things that are going to happen. When Christians don't study above and beyond their predecessors, meaning you're Christians, you are the ones, you are the group of Christians that are going to be living when the rapture comes. Certainly there's going to be a lot of people that die of all the various causes people die of, but generally speaking, the grouping of the church today is what is called the Last Days Church. This means there are other things at play here than what all the other churches had before. In all the time since Jesus, and for that matter on in to all the way back to Adam, nobody had the access to information that we have. Nobody has been in a situation where they would have any possibility of seeing Jesus come. Just us. Just like there are the various parts of history in God's plan where the group of Christians or the group of God's people are, get to see and be partakers or live in the time that God moves. There were some that got to be here when Jesus came. There were those that got to go through the 40 years as God led them to the promised land. Now, there are some that are in the last days, which means they will see Jesus return. Or rather, they will be coming with Jesus, but they're living in a time where they can be alive at the time of the rapture. And so there's a different set of principles that goes on. Christianity basically isn't changing. God didn't change. Jesus didn't change. It's the plan of events that change. So today's Christians need to take a different kind of look at the things around them. At no other time, though, there were events that took place designed to try to keep people from staying Christian or accepting Jesus, so forth. Today, more than ever, there are specific things out and about to get you to think Antichrist is Jesus or is God. And that you believing in the Bible as you do is a mistake, a misinterpretation, or something. This is pretty significant. So as we turn on the boob tube, as we listen, as we go to church and everything, it seems like a lot of us are just playing the game. Just biding our time, just got this idea that they're home free. They got a free ticket to heaven. Well, there's a little bit more to life than just get to heaven for free. People like to find verses which would justify their claims that it's just a free ride with little pains and sufferings along the way. With maybe normal, everyday, dramatic, traumatic events, you know, accidents that happen to so-and-so, and maybe sometimes happen to you, disease and everything, and pretty traumatic. You can't get more suffering out of some of the things that some of you have gone through. But nobody's gone through what's about to happen. And the things that are about to happen is to try to make you decide against Jesus. And you know, every time I talk about this, I know that almost everybody that's listening wants to say to themselves, and are saying to themselves, not me, not me. Why not you? Have you done the research? Have you done the study? Do you know what the deceptions are and what they're going to attack? Do you know how they're going to go about making that man over there look like Jesus or God after all? Probably not. You love to listen to your pastors and various ministers talk about the last days. What we have is all manner of authors, all manner of pastors, all manner of ministers talking about the tribulation as though it's off yonder, it's a thing to avoid, and the way you avoid it is to accept Jesus. And you love to talk about the death and destruction and all the terrible things that are going to happen during the tribulation period, and always all the more to avoid this time. It's kind of interesting because this kind of a concept developed in the 1830s, within Hansen 1840s. You could go and track down, trace down, and read the history about it. The first person was Margaret. She had a vision, and the vision. She's definitely in the cult. That you, when you go back and you research her and everything, she's way into the occult, astrology and various kinds of stuff. And she started this idea that Christians will not go through the tribulation period. Darby came along a little bit later and began to use his expertise, as it were, to bring about information or scriptures sort of to try to enhance what Margaret developed. Darby, also quite the occultist when you do the research. And so today we believe a doctrine that we will not go into tribulation based on people that worship Satan, actually. When you think about it, if you're going to be in the occult, you're going to dabble in astrology and various other kinds of stuff, you're not dealing with God here. Though lots of people that do these things, lots of people that have the crystal ball, lots of people that do all this, they always love to use this word, God. They believe, it seems, that they are as in tune as God to God as anybody. And so when you hear their rhetoric when they speak, it's a little confusing, because on the one hand they are doing things that if they really believed in God and Jesus and read the Bible, they would find out that there are some things that are just beyond clarity, because, like for instance, astrologers will burn. Where are your monthly people that predict things? Well, you know, there has not been an evolution in word definitions for the word astrology. So no matter how you go and you look at the ancient language, astrology is astrology, and it's basically the same as it always been. Not a great deal of enhancement to it, except now we got computers and we can really bring out a lot more, a lot faster. So when we are dealing with people that which we have doctrine on, and somehow we get this idea, no, it's not them. Oh, the Bible is much older than 1880. I hear it all the time. You have come to believe something because of a doctrine invented by an occultist, and you have then interpreted that and got conditioned so that You believe it's Bible. And so then you swear up and down it's Bible, and how can you possibly change your mind on that? If you really think that it's Bible, then it's going to be an awfully hard for anybody to convince you otherwise. Right? And the Bible, another great deception beyond compare. We're told Satan's a counterfeiter. Hardly any of us ever doubts that. But I hear people say, God would never allow Satan to counterfeit the Bible. Where is that doctrine? Where is the verse of scriptures that says that this is how it is, that God wouldn't let Satan counterfeit? If Satan is the greatest counterfeiter of them all, then he is going to counterfeit what he desires the most. And we don't have any problem believing that Satan wants to rise above God. You know the five or some I wills? I will, I will, I will, he says. Rise above God. And he's going to use counterfeit things. Counterfeit Bibles. And so many of you today love all the modern versions. You pick the version you like. And if you're doing any sort of studying, you know what you do? You set out four or five Bibles, you put the computer up there, and you start finding the Bible that most fits the message you're putting across. You know, I used to all believe that the modern versions were just like, that you would look at it like this, and then you'd go over here in another version, and then now you could look at the very same thing like this. And then you could kind of look at it this way from here, or you could kind of look down this way, or you could come around and look at the backside. You know, this is kind of the analogy that I sort of developed as the modern versions came to become more and more popular. I didn't particularly like them. It always seemed like the King James had a much better content and a feeling about it. Once you get used to the these and the thous, comes to be like a second language. Not that difficult to understand. And besides, again, fingertips. We got all information at our fingertips, so we can go and find out what things mean. But yet, the evolution, the conditioning towards modern Bible have gone to almost ban the King James. Some of you will say, well, I have the King James too. In fact, it's my favorite. Then you know what you're doing? You're saying, I have Jesus too. He's my favorite. But I have Buddha, I have Allah, and I have all these other gods too. But Jesus is my favorite. Sorry. Christianity doesn't work like that. But that's what you're doing. There's the pastor up there. Got his multi-million dollar church and his extraordinary multimedia system. And you spend that time through his giving his message. And all too often the message is more on the practicality of the financial running of your life. You see, like how you could better profit yourself. So often, but not always, some sermons still remain pretty good. If you're really born again, believing, you can almost go into any church and hear God's message, even though maybe the pastor's not actually speaking it. God is speaking through him, and you can understand it. Boy, I've gone to some churches that seem so dead, and I'm looking at everybody, you know, how come they're not jumping up and down with joy, you know? You just feel the presence of the Lord and everything, and they're just sitting there like zombies. And the pastor's sitting there droning away. It's like everybody's bored to death what he's saying, he's bored to death of what he's saying. But boy, I'm sitting there, and I said, wow, God's speaking a message here. How come nobody else is under? I'm on jumping up, I'm on raise my hand. Praise God. You know? God can speak to you. But you got to know a few things. You can't just go someplace and accept everything you say. Talking about Scripture, it says you can go home. Amen. Say, praise the Lord. Great deal. Pastor, you're wonderful. Love your message. And you go home. Get out your Bible? Get out your computer. Have your phone number, dial that library, get ready to get your car out, so you go down to the library and start looking to see what he said. And so, whoops, this ain't right. That's not right. Oh, he was okay there. And you begin to take back those things. You're supposed to be keeping a track on your faith. It is you that has to keep track on your faith, not the pastor. The pastor may be thinking he's doing a real good job helping you and all that kind of stuff, but he's all mixed up in a lot of ways. If he's using modern version, that should be a flag right away. Somehow or another, this man of God up there doesn't know about Westcott and Hort. Why doesn't this man of God that's supposed to, you know, in modern day denominations, you got to go to college. You're not going to be a pastor because you're just sitting in the pew every day and amen, amen, and then finally everybody says, why don't you be pastor? And you say, okay, I'll take the job. It doesn't work that way. Pastors, the denomination heads, are looking all over the place. Even you in the congregation, you to give approval or something, you go over, you do quite a job interview. Make sure he's got his credentials set. So you think a man of God, that your pastor, would have some information concerning the originations of the Bible. Now, if a little nobody can just go type, type, type and find the million pages on Westcott and Hort that says they are the fathers of all the modern versions. Why doesn't your pastor even know this name Westcott and Hort? If he's supposed to be so knowledgeable, what is the colleges teaching them when they go to Bible college or any kind of Bible school? It's kind of amazing, you know, but, you know, after all, we're not the pastor. So they're called, they got to be right. We got to be stupid. We got to be wrong if we go and we study ourselves and we find out that all modern versions come from Westcott and Hort. Did you hear me? They didn't come from some wonderful organization that went out and gathered up all fantastic original copies or whatever that was actually from the original manuscripts out here and began to translate the Bible from that. They didn't do that. The King James Bible did that. But all modern translations did not do that. They went to the official Church of England Bible and they brought that over. Well, in 1901 or something, was the first revision of the official Church of England Bible. And then in 1946, 47, 48, came the first true modern version Bible. And then from there, it exploded. Until now, there's a modern version for everybody. There's 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions in modern version Bibles. There is a specific purpose. We have these Bibles that have, what are they called? They have several versions lined up together. I mean, it shouldn't be too hard to something to click that says, wait a minute, these modern versions sound good if you read them by themselves, but when you compare it to the King James Version, why does the King James Version have to always be so mushy? Why do they always, why does the King James Version always have to emphasize Jesus is the Christ? Jesus Christ! And all manner of the things that in our hearts we think about Jesus, it's emphasized over and over and over and over again in the King James Version. But then you look at the verse for this modern version and the verse, you know, you're comparing it. You say, wait a minute. It says, this wasn't put in here. It says, left out, omitted. It just says, Jesus. Instead of Jesus, the Son of God. Or Jesus Christ. Now, modern versions have a specific design. They're only good after Israel became a nation, because this means that generation won't pass away. So this is the generation you that's going to have to see the deceptions. One deception, counterfeit Bible. And so, it is you that by reading the counterfeit Bibles are conditioned over a period of time. It doesn't happen because you sat down and you read a couple of verses. You have to read the whole Bible. And then you're reading it again. You've kind of made it your Bible, and that's the one you always read. And though in your heart, like I said, you still believe that Jesus is the Christ and all that kind of stuff, the mushy stuff that the King James Bible says. So you sort of believe the King James Bible, even though now you may not read it, or you accept the people that are urging you not to read it, because this is what's more and more. But you're reading the modern versions because it's simple. You like the way it fits with the desire. You said this. I like this one better than this one. And what it's doing is you're reading it. It is getting input into your eyes and going to the place that you're stored in your brain. It's your hard drive. And so, you keep storing this stuff, and you're storing it into your hard drive. And your conscious is grabbing things from all the other places. Stuff you hear, stuff you know, your analyzation of things and everything. It's going for many sources. But your hard drive is building up. And it's getting that finally, the day is going to come when Satan's going to have his man, and he's going to have his messengers out there, and he's going to say this and that. And then you're going to rely on your hard drive, because now all of a sudden you say, hey, you've got to start dealing with the facts. Let's see what the facts are. And you go to your conditioning, and sure enough, you pick out the modern version. You look at it, sure enough, you know, yeah, okay, we've misunderstood. We misinterpreted. We're wrong. That man over there must be Jesus after all. This is the kind of things that Satan counterfeit is designed to do, the great deception. They're going to attack your senses, your sight, your hearing, and so forth and so on. And you're not ready for that because you don't think it's for you. 5,000 years of history showing that there is something being built up for what? In the last century, in the last 50 years, we're seeing something build up. We like to call it the New World Order, Antichrist Kingdom. The events that's built up, the constitutions, the documentations and things are designed for Christian sake. If you're gone, they wasted their time. Believe me, Satan is not wasting his time. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now, read the King James Bible. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And get ready, people. Modern version Bibles is only one counterfeit of Satan. See you next week.